This is The Inside Story, a program of biblical teaching that we trust will bring insight into God's Word and application to your life today.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to The Inside Story. I'd like to turn today to John chapter 7. This is a most critical passage in our discussion of the Holy Spirit. We're looking at perhaps the most controversial topic in Christendom today, and yet one of the very most vital. Who is the Holy Spirit? What is He doing? And how do we understand all of that biblically? John chapter 7, and I want to start at verse 37. It says, "On the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and proclaimed, 'If anyone thirst, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the Scripture has said, out of his heart shall flow rivers of living water.'" Now, if you go back to the beginning of the chapter, we discover what feast this is talking about. Verse 2, it says, "Now the Jews' feast of tabernacles was at hand." Back in ancient times, all the way back in the very early days of Israel, we discover that there were three primary feasts for the Jewish people. The first, of course, was the Feast of Passover, when they celebrated God's deliverance of them from Egyptian bondage. The second, which was really tied to the Passover, was the Feast of Pentecost. The Passover points beyond itself to a feast 50 days later, and that's where the word Pentecost comes from 50, from the word 50, which is penta in Greek. Pentecost is the Greek word for 50 days later. And the Feast of Pentecost was originally an agricultural festival. It was a time of celebrating the springtime harvest. It was the harvest of first fruits. And they were commanded to come up to Jerusalem and bring of their first fruits, their barley shoots, their little green plants that were just beginning at the springtime harvest. But once again, the Feast of Pentecost pointed beyond itself, because by definition it was the Feast of First Fruits, implying there were later fruits to come. I commented a couple of days ago that in that part of the world, right down to the present time, the agricultural picture is that you have a growing season in the spring, a long, hot, dry period in the summer when not much is growing, and then an autumn season when there's much more rain and there tends to be a much heavier crop. And the Feast of Tabernacles, or booths, was the feast of celebrating that latter harvest, that harvest of autumn growing. And it takes its name from the fact that the Jews in olden days were commanded to go up to Jerusalem and make for themselves little booths, or tents, or tabernacles. And as they did that, they were reminding themselves that for 40 years of wandering in the wilderness, there was no harvest to celebrate. For 40 years, as they wandered about, they were provided supernatural food, manna from heaven, quails that God brought in from the seaside, and water provided supernaturally out of the flinty rock. It was a time of God's provision, but it was not a time of harvest. They were nomadic peoples. They were dwelling in the wilderness. God fed them supernaturally, but they had no crops. They had no planting. There was no harvest to celebrate. And so when they got into the land, they not only gave thanks for the harvest, but they remembered the time when there was nothing, no harvest to give thanks for. And so they made for themselves, and they still, right down to the present time, will make for themselves little booths or tents. They were commanded to come up to Jerusalem and dwell for 7 days in tents, reminding them of that time of wandering in the wilderness. Now that's the feast being celebrated in John 7, the Feast of Tabernacles. It went on for 7 days, and then it wound down on the 8th day. And it says in verse 37, "On the last day of the feast, the great day, the culminating day, Jesus stood up and proclaimed, 'If anyone thirst, let him come to me and drink.'" Now, by the time of Jesus, an elaborate ritual had developed for the celebration of the Feast of Tabernacles. And we can read in the history books that the priests would go down to the Pool of Siloam and they'd carry a great golden pitcher, and all the people would come with them and behind them in a tremendous parade, and they'd be singing and they'd be dancing through the streets of Jerusalem. They'd carry this golden pitcher through the streets on into the temple, right up to the temple altar of burnt offering, and they would march around the altar of burnt offering. And they did this once a day for 7 days. And then on the 7th day, they marched around the altar not just once, but 7 times. It's very much reminiscent of Joshua marching around the city of Jericho. He went once around the city each day for 7 days, but on the 7th day, he went around it 7 times. And then he blew the trumpet, and you remember the walls came a-tumbling down. Well, on the 7th day of the Feast of Tabernacles, the priests and all the people came into the temple area, and they marched around the altar of the temple, and they poured out this water in the golden pitcher taken from the pool of Siloam. And the history books tell us that the Jews did this for 2 reasons. One was they were dramatically recalling, again, that time in the wilderness when they not only dwelt in booths or tabernacles, but in which God was providing for them supernaturally. This reminded them of the water that God provided from the flinty rock. But also, it looked ahead. It looked ahead to a day that Joel in particular prophesied about, when it shall come to pass afterward, says God, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. So as they poured out the water from the golden pitcher, they looked back to God's provision in the wilderness with literal water coming from the rock, and they looked forward to a time of Messiah, to a time of new covenant, when God would similarly be pouring out his spirit on all flesh. Now I want you to bear that in mind. As we come to John chapter 7, that's the background. Can you picture this festival celebration going on in the city of Jerusalem for 7 days? Jews have come in not only from all over Palestine, but they've come in from the diaspora. They've come in from surrounding areas and territories where they've been scattered. Any good Jew who could possibly afford to do so came to the city of Jerusalem to be there for the celebration. For 7 days, they've been dwelling down in the valleys around the city of Jerusalem. They've been dwelling in tents around the hills. Some of them undoubtedly had relatives and friends that they stayed with, but many were living in temporary shelters, and every day the high point of the day's activities was marching through the streets of the city of Jerusalem, coming up and dancing around the altar of God. And now on the 7th day, the priests have surrounded that altar, they've marched around it 7 times, and they've poured out that water from the golden pitcher, and they've reminded themselves that God has promised a day in which he's going to pour out his spirit on all flesh. Now, as I've been saying this week, what's new about the new covenant is the all flesh. It's not that God is going to pour out his spirit for the very first time. He has poured out his spirit all through the Jews' history. He's poured out his spirit on prophets, on priests, on kings, on builders, on singers, on musicians, and various others from time to time. But the common man, the little people, the man in the street, if you will, had to go to the leaders to learn about God. He had to go to the leadership to find out God's statutes and ordinances. He didn't know God in a personal way. But Joel and others in the Old Testament say, a day is coming when I will pour out my spirit not just on the leaders, but even on your men servants and your maid servants, your old men, your young men, your old women, your young women, on all flesh. Now, mind you, that does not mean on each and every person. It means on each and every person who belongs to Messiah. The birthright of all Christians is the pouring out of God's Spirit. You got the background now? It's the last day of the feast, the great day. All of this has just happened vividly, dramatically. How many people are there? Probably literally tens of thousands. There could be that many just in the temple area itself. Temple Mount is a tremendously huge area. There could be literally tens of thousands of people in the temple area itself, let alone in the surrounding area. And the great day has just been celebrated. The priests have marched around the altar 7 times and they've poured out the water. And Jesus stands up somewhere in the temple And in essence, what he's saying is, do you see what's just happened? Do you see what they've just done? Well, I'm the one who fulfills all that. Everything that the Feast of Tabernacles is about, everything that the prophet Joel has promised, everything that pertains to the new covenant, and in particular the pouring out of God's Spirit upon all of God's people, is what I have come to accomplish. If anyone thirst, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the Scripture has said, out of his heart or out of his belly, out of his innermost being, shall flow rivers of living water. I'm the one who pours out the Spirit, just like they've poured out this water. Can you imagine the electricity that had to be crackling through the crowds? Can you imagine the astonishment and perhaps the offense of the priests as they heard Jesus saying this? Do you see what they've just done? I'm the one who fulfills that. I'm the one that all that is about. And if there's any mistake about it, John adds this commentary in the next verse. Now this he said about the Spirit, which those who believed in him were to receive, for as yet the Spirit had not been given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. He had not been given in fulfillment of this strain of prophecy. The Spirit was there. The Spirit had been present from the very foundation of the world and before that. The Spirit was active in creation. But as yet, he had not been given in this sense, in the being poured out sense upon all flesh, because Jesus had not yet been glorified. Jesus being glorified, taken up to the Father, transfigured into a glory that surpassed his glory before he was born, was the key that unlocked the pouring out of the Spirit. Not yet had not happened in history. But this was a prophetic promise of the Lord Jesus. This is what I've come to accomplish. I have come to unleash the outpouring of the Spirit upon all those who belong to me, all those who are part of God's covenant people, all those who are part of Messiah's great work. And that's the inside story.